Growing up as a Army brat, as we call ourselves, you travel a lot. And you're in the car for hours and hours and hours and hours. And you don't always get to sleep because there's six kids in that car and someone's always making noise, especially if there's a littlest one, a baby in the family. And so you have to find things to entertain your brain besides picking on your siblings, which was my common entertainment, and that wasn't helpful. So sometimes you take a look at the world around you and you play telescope and you make an O and you make another O and you put them together and you would see what you could see in the trucks passing by and the cars and things like that. And you would even have competition doing this. Can you catch the license plate of the vehicle that went by or the ones you go by if your parents were driving faster than them? It reminds us that if something happens and you're doing this, often you miss it because your view is limited. Taking a look at Jeremiah chapter 1, what do we see and what gets in our way? There are some tremendous Bible studies that you study the people of the scriptures, sometimes the prophets, sometimes the apostles. It's packed now, but I had books that were women of scripture, and it would talk about Priscilla and Naomi and Ruth and all these great ladies of faith. And sometimes when we narrow down our focus like that, it could be pretty deep Bible study, but at the same time, if we have our own agenda when we're approaching scripture, we miss something. Today would be a great day to tell you about Prophet Jeremiah. He wasn't always happy with God's calling. He didn't like the pressure of serving the Lord. He didn't like standing out as one of God's people because it made him different than others. And we could relate that to our own lives. When we want to live and act according to the Christian teachings, the biblical teachings, our Christian faith, sometimes it doesn't fit in with what our friends and acquaintances and coworkers want to do. They want to gossip, they want to lie, they want to slander, they want to play tricks, they want to do anything but what God wants us to do. And so we could look at Jeremiah and how he persevered. We could look at the calling of God, because in the scriptures you have Jeremiah was consecrated. That means he was set apart for God's plan and God's purpose. And we can talk about, what does it mean as I'm retiring, what does it mean to go into church work? And how do you know this is for you? And we could really become tunnel focused on that. And it is in the text. But sometimes when we put these kinds of building blocks in front of our eyes, we miss one of the great messages that is in this chapter. Because the greatest news isn't about Jeremiah, it's about the God of Jeremiah. The one who calls Jeremiah isn't just vague or nebulous or, you know, a robocall, if you will. This is the Lord Almighty. This is the creator of heaven and earth. The one who calls Jeremiah and sets him apart is the creator of life itself. And it tells you the God that chooses Jeremiah is the God that knew him and planned him even before Jeremiah was born. To think about God having known you before you were born, doesn't that boggle our mind? And how many times in our lives, like Jeremiah, we would maybe stomp our foot and say, I don't like this life, you know? And I would rather be, A, a part of a different family, you know? I would rather be in a different city. I would rather have a different car. I would rather have a different job. And we crave these changes as if it would make everything better. And what we have blocked our eyesight is that this is how God raises us up to show his glory in the midst of challenge, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trouble and suffering. This is how God raises us up to show his power and strength instead of, well, look what look what I accomplished. Look what I did. I graduated, you know. But instead, this is the hand of God. Look at your Old Testament reading and see what God points out about himself. Naturally, you have all the things about Jeremiah. He was a prophet. He was appointed. He was not to be frowned upon. He was to have this view. Don't let people talk about your youthfulness in a negative way. Don't let that hold you hostage. And Jeremiah was not to be afraid. But this is what God has done. One, God knew him in verse 5. God knew him before he was born. And before he was formed, God had appointed him. He had a very plan for him, a purpose for him. Sometimes we go to these self-help books and we look for purpose and meaning and significance in our life. And the key is the focus is on self. Here we learn from Jeremiah that we need to take our eyes off self and put our eyes on God. Last night at our gathering, and it was a great evening, and I had a surprise of a young man who sent a video to our oldest daughter, and he told about an event. It was a life-changing event for him. It happened in a grocery store. He was in high school, and the owner of the store was gone, and they ran out of hamburger. And he was zealous and wanted to be dedicated and fulfill the store owner's expectations, and so he began to grind more meat for the hamburger sale. And in doing so, he lost his hand past his wrist into the device. I had walked in the store. I was the first one that got to him. There was only myself and the elderly lady who was the cashier, and I got to him. I got him on the floor of the store. I grabbed what was left, stopped the bleeding with my own grip, and I told the lady to do exactly and say exactly what I said. And I gave her instructions about 911 and to call and tell him exactly what we would need. See, I was part of the rescue team in the fire department in that little town. So I knew who would come, and I knew what they would bring, and I knew what our equipment was like, and I knew how it functioned. And I gave instructions for that. So all of that was communicated before my teammates arrived. After that event, people saw me throughout the week, and they said, "Boy, I was glad you were there." And under my breath, I went, "I wasn't." And I don't know how many times I thought that way. I did not enjoy that. I did not want to be there. I wish I had missed it. In fact, I wasn't supposed to be at the store because Gwen had given me an assignment. I was supposed to have done this earlier. It was Sunday after church. And we didn't get to go home because we had to go to the store because the husband didn't do what he was supposed to do. And the wife and the kids were in the car, and I come into the store, and bingo. This whole event unfolds. And in my flesh, I thought, "I wish I had been here earlier." Taking eyes off self means you realize that God had a plan. Not that this young man would intentionally be harmed, but when he was harmed, God had a plan to help him. God had a plan to rescue him. And I was part of that plan. Taking eyes off self means you look to God to see what he wants to accomplish instead of what you desire and what you like and what you don't like and what you will do and what you won't do, and on the list goes. This is about God. This text is about God. This is not a self-help Bible in that way. It is about God helping us. And our faith drives us to the cross because we have no salvation. We have no help apart from him. This is about the joy that God gives because he has the power to give it. The hope that God instills because he has the power to create it. This is about the truth that God bestows and he has the power to reveal it. This is about God. So, about God in Jeremiah, he says, I have a mission for you. To all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. God is with Jeremiah. God delivers Jeremiah. God touches Jeremiah. His very mouth he touches. Verse 9, the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth, says the Lord. And then God gave Jeremiah the authority. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, and to destroy, and to overthrow, and to build, and to plant. And this authority is not about Jeremiah. It is not about his title. It is not about his role, if you will. Well, I'm a prophet, you know. You can imagine almost if you turn some of the Old Testament into a Western, that one of them might sound like John Wayne, you know, and come in and to the town of sinners and say, well, pilgrims, you know, what are you going to do? It's not about how macho he is. It's not about how manly he is. It's not about how muscle bound he is. He's not Arnold Schwarzenegger or anybody of the action hero genre. He is of God. And that's what makes the difference. You may not be a prophet, but are you of God? You would declare that in your baptism. You may not be a prophet, but doesn't he give you his word? Put it in your heart and your mind. God is the focus of this text and the power that he brings and uses for his very purpose. And there are times in our lives where you might say, like I did, I didn't want to be there, you know, and yet God used you. And I don't mean used you as manipulated, but God set you there for a purpose and for his glory. You are part of this congregation for his purpose and his glory. You are part of the mission of this congregation for God's purpose and to the glory of his name, to the salvation and proclaiming that good news of salvation to the community around us. Being church isn't about being the self-help clinic. It is about being God's help for us, in us, and through us. And so the purpose of Grace Lutheran and the mission about bringing Christ to the people, it's about God. And when we think, well, I'm not a Jeremiah, you've missed and you've blocked your vision. Last night, during the time of sharing, one of our members saw how I was holding the mic and my hands were shaking. How many of you saw that? It was embarrassing. Even Gwen said, you get up in front of people every Sunday. You don't do that. If we have our focus on self, we cannot help but be nervous. If we're full of our own emotion, we cannot help but be nervous and rattled a bit. But when we recognize and give ourselves over into the hand of God, then it's no longer about self. It's about Him. And the mission and ministry and the people of this congregation continues that journey. Because you were not about me and my voice. You were about Him. And I was about Him. And you will continue to be about Him. And your focus will continue to be on God. And when I leave on Tuesday, having turned in my keys, you will not have lost the mission and the purpose and your identity, for it's in Christ. Yes, there will be changes because it's not my character or my personality or my voice or my silly stories or my off humor or whatever else you want to describe me as. But it will be always here about God. And I'm not the prophet who says, I know what God's plan is for you, but I just get to tell you God has a plan. And your journey together will discover that. And so by the work of the Holy Spirit, don't let the hands, okay, of doubt block your vision. Don't let the thinking of this world even hinder what you're looking at. But as the scripture says, it is God who declares us His own. It is God who knew us before we were born. And it is God who sets us on the path with a purpose. And yes, in our humanness, there's times we may not want to be there. But yet by faith, when we see the hand of God, I wouldn't have it any other way. Would you? So as always, to God be the glory. Amen.